great time. Why don't we pray? Father, we are just so grateful. What a wonderful, wonderful sense of your presence. The worship, the fellowship, the friendship, just the Lord, we sent your favor on this church. We sent your blessing. And God, I'm just asking over these next 40 minutes or so that we could just, Lord, help me to encourage your people. God, I pray that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl walks out of this place changed with a deposit of your word on the inside of them. God, we love you. May all that we say and do bring glory to you, Jesus, in your precious name. And everybody said, I want you guys just for a moment to use your imagination. Of course, summer's coming up and many of you will be traveling throughout the country. So I want you just for a moment to imagine that somebody gave you a cabin in North Carolina, a beautiful cabin. And the day after getting there, you woke up early in the morning, you went out for a little walk on a little trail, not too far from the cabin. And as you're walking through, you saw there's a little glint of metal. It appeared to be metal that was the sun just breaking in, was shining off of it. So you walked over there, and as you did, you pushed away a little bit of the leaves, and sure enough, I mean, it kind of took you back for a moment, but right there in the middle of this path, it appears to be an outlet, a socket. You think to yourself, man, that's kind of a strange place to put a socket. And you're thinking to yourself, man, I wonder if it works. So you go back to the cabin. You weren't too far away. And as you go back to the cabin, you get a radio. You run over there and you plug the radio in. Sure enough, it works. You're thinking to yourself, man, this is incredible. Right in the middle of the woods. I mean, the person that owned the house didn't tell you whether or not they had one there. And so you're kind of wondering. And you go back and you get an extension cord and kind of one of those that have five or six little sockets on it. You start plugging in a whole bunch of things. I mean, it's just incredible. All of a sudden, all of these things start working and you're bewildered. You're overwhelmed. You're thinking, this is incredible. You knock on the door of some of the neighbors and you say, man, you got to come check this out, man. This is incredible. Hey, listen, if you got any electric appliances or anything that you want, man, come plug it in. And sure enough, they all worked. You call the power company. You say, man, listen, this is strange. I'm a visitor. I'm staying at such and such place. But let me ask you a question. Are you aware of a socket in the middle of a path outside of this cabin? They said, no, we sure aren't. We've never heard of that. So, I mean, you got to come down here and check this out. They come down there. They check it out. And they plug in their stuff. Sure enough, full-blown electricity coming out of this socket. They're so fired up about it, they tell the whole city. As a matter of fact, the power company actually builds a power plant right on top of that socket. It was lighting up that whole power plant. Not only that, it was now lighting up the whole city. Not only that, they had an idea. Hey, you know what? We'll start selling electricity all throughout America. And then they felt guilty. They thought, man, this is free. We can't sell something that's given to us for free. They said, you know what? We're going to just start giving away electricity. And all throughout America, they started giving away electricity because they tapped into, watch this seemingly little, often overlooked, small little socket right in the middle of the path. Wow. Isn't that powerful? Gone are the days of electric bills in America. Come on, can I have a good amen? I mean, isn't that credible? I mean, just incredible. A powerful surge of current from a seemingly insignificant, overlooked outlet. You know, when I begin to think about this, I begin to think about in my own life. I want to share a biblical principle with you guys today. Listen to this. A seemingly insignificant, often overlooked, matter of fact, every bit in my life of any little fruitfulness that I've experienced, whether it's in my relationship with Christ or my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my kids, any bit of fruitfulness or success that I've experienced, you know what? It's because, watch this, I somehow have tapped into this little seemingly insignificant power outlet. As a matter of fact, in your own life, every single one of you in here, those of you that have experienced any success at work, any success in your relationship with God, any success in your relationship with your spouse, with your kids. It's because you have plugged into, you've tapped into this little outlet, this principle that I want to teach you this morning. Matter of fact, I want to teach you about a principle. I've traveled throughout the world and one of this principle I'm talking about. A lot of cultures are trying to interpret this and they're not quite sure what it is. In the Orient, they call it yin and yang. Empirical rationalists, for all the smart people, they call it cause and effect. In India, the law of karma, they call it, well, what comes around goes around. But the Bible calls it, you know what the Bible calls it? The Bible calls it the law of reciprocity. The Bible calls it sowing and reaping. Now, immediately, I know some of y'all thinking, all right, Pastor Dino brought one of his friends in here to talk about money. That's not true. As a matter of fact, the law of reciprocity, the law of sowing and reaping, oh, it includes finances. But what I want to talk to you about today is a principle of life. It's a principle that governs all of your relationships. It's a principle that governs your relationship with God. It's a principle that governs every bit of fruitfulness that you may be experiencing in your life. Matter of fact, it's a principle that governs the universe. It's the law of sowing and reaping. It's the law of reciprocity. Now, when I walked in here today, I saw up on there all the different titles of the messages. Why? Why is this happening? Why can't I change? And the message today is actually, why am I blessed? Some of you in here thinking, man, I wish I could even ask that question. I don't feel blessed. Well, guess what? I'm glad you came to church today. Now, let me just say this. For those of you that are Catholic, you got to make the sign of the cross. Those of you that are Baptist, say amen. Charismatic, wave your hand. But you got to talk back to me at some level today. Y'all with me this morning? I mean, we got to have a little, you know, cause and response. Are y'all with me? Amen. All right, good. Good class. All right, good. For those of you that don't feel blessed, listen, I'm glad you came here today because I'm going to teach you a principle from the Bible. You know, one of the greatest ways I've realized in my own life how to live a blessed life. I've learned how to bless others. Matter of fact, I've learned in my life, whatever it is that I want, I got to give it away. I remember complaining to the Lord one day. I was in a relationship struggle with my wife. I'm sure none of y'all have ever dealt with that before, but I got all upset with my wife, you know, and I just said, oh, honey, you know what? I'm going to go pray, you know, and she's all right, you need to, you know. So I walked off and I'm praying, you know, and I'm just like, Lord, you know, like real selfish. Lord, I hope you're dealing with her. God, deal with her. You know, and the Lord just begins to talk to me about my life, you know, and I'm like, God, I hope you're talking to her too. You know, how you know God doesn't care. He wants to see what's in your heart. You know, and I mean, it's all right, Lord, what? And this thought came across my mind and I reckon it to the Holy Spirit. Here it is. God spoke to me and said, quit focusing on her. See, the problem that I had was I was mad at her because I felt like she was not meeting my needs. And I just sensed the Lord whisper to me, quit focusing on your needs and start meeting her needs. Come on, all the women said, amen. I feel a revival fire in the house. And see, the reality of it is, that's the principle of life. You see, those people that say, I want to be blessed. I got to figure out how to be blessed. I just want to be blessed. I want the blessing. They always miss it. It eludes them. Because the way into the blessing of God is not by focusing on how to be blessed. Watch this. It's by learning how to be a blessing. Wow. Luke says it this way in chapter 6, verse 38. Give, not just your resources. It includes that. Give of your time. Watch this. Give of your joy. Give of your faith. Give of friendship. Give, and it will be what? Given to you. There it is. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You know, I walk in here this morning. I love coming to HBC. I probably preach here probably 5 or 6 years, you know, in the last 5 or 6 years, I've come on Wednesdays, a couple times on Sundays. And every time I come, I love seeing you guys. I love the worship. And this thought just goes through my mind. This is a blessed church. Y'all not excited about that. I said, this is a blessed church. Amen. You are a blessed people. A blessed people. Matter of fact, you know what happens? You may not know this. I'm going to technically break this down, okay? Now watch this. You know what happens when you enter into a church and you start tapping into what I call the multiplication of life? You know what happens when life goes from just addition to multiplication? By the way, you do realize this, guys, that, listen, God's economy and our economy are different. Amen. See, the earth operates primarily in the realm of addition. Here's how it works. Don't miss this. It's 1 plus 1 equals what?
2.
2 plus 2 equals what?
4.
3 plus 3 equals what?
6.
Okay, God doesn't add. God always multiplies. All right, here's how God does it. 3 times 3 is what? Ooh, that's bigger than 6. Let me give you an example. See, you got to see this because when you make a difference, listen, when you make an impact on one person, listen, it's not just one person. It's whoever they touch. If they touch 3 and then they touch 3. See, God's rules and his principles are governed by the realm of multiplication. You got to see this. See, watch this. Here's how it works. Now, remember the Bible. It's written primarily in an agrarian society. They didn't know anything about iPods and downloads and PCs. They knew stuff about the seed, the ear, the corn. They knew stuff about, the soil, the sower, stuff like that, 30-fold, 60-fold. Now, here's how it works. One day there was a story, and a guy was talking about a seed and a sower. And I began to think about how God even set up the agricultural world. Watch this. With a overriding understanding and concept of multiplication. When you have a seed of corn and you plant that seed of corn into the ground, addition would say is you'd get another seed of corn. But here's how God works. Watch this. This is, see, God built into the planet what I call biotic, bio is the word life. Life principles that when you tap into those principles, boom, there's a jolt of power. You may not be able to explain them. You may not understand them, but you can sure feel them. You can feel it in your marriage. You can feel it in your relationship with God. You can feel it in your work. You're in the zone. There's a flow. There's a power. What is it? You've tapped into that principle of life. You take one little seed of corn and you put that seed of corn in the ground. Watch this. Guess what it does? It produces a stalk that produces ears and produces hundreds of seeds of corn. Did you see it? That's how God operates. See, the moment that you begin to see this, church takes on a different light. Your marriage does. Your relationship with God does. This is how to experience personal revival. This is how to experience intimacy in your marriage. This is how to experience impact as a church. This is how to experience increase. Friends, the whole world is pregnant with increase. And as you tap into it through the principle today, you begin to experience the power and benefits attached to it. Wow. Don't forget this. God has blessed you to be a what? Say it. A blessing. You know, in the beginning of the scripture, Genesis chapter 1, right in the beginning of the Bible has a principle called the law of first mention. Whatever is said first establishes priority throughout. And here's what happens. The very first thing that God told man, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Here it is. Ready for this? Then God said to them, watch this, be fruitful and what? Say it.
Multiply.
All right. Now, that's not just limited to it in a procreative sense. See, I know a lot of people that have not been able to have natural children, but they're very spiritually fruitful. See, multiplication is a principle of life. I know people in their marriage. I know people in their vocation. I know people in their relationship with God. They've tapped into, watch this, they've tapped into the blessing of God, not because they've looked to be blessed, but they've sought to be a blessing. See, it's a principle that governs life. See, I hope that when you get in your car today, listen, in your relationship with your spouse and your kids, you'll begin to understand it's about giving yourself away for the kingdom of God that positions you to be blessed. I read a book once by a guy, and the book is an incredible book. Here's what the title of it. You ready for this? Try Giving Yourself. That's the book title. Let me give you the premise of the book, all right? Here it is. The premise was, here's a guy, and God would speak to him and give him creative ideas. And so he would go into a restaurant, per se, or into a business, and God would begin to give him these ideas. And they were very incredibly creative ideas. Man, it was incredible. And he would go, wouldn't charge anything on the front end, and he'd begin to talk to them and say, man, listen, man, if you'll do this, your business will prosper. If you do this, your business will prosper. You know what happened? The people implemented these ideas. Their restaurants began to explode. Their businesses began to explode. Now, at first, he didn't charge anything. But see, what happened is after a while, if you don't set out to be blessed, if you set out to be a blessing, I remember when my mindset switched. And as a young pastor, I wanted to be successful. I wanted to make a difference. And God says, you're thinking wrong. It's not about you being successful. It's about you being significant and making a difference in other people's lives. But if you do it long enough, people want to hear about it. Are y'all with me? What happened is this guy, all of a sudden, he started writing more books and making resources, and he was a consultant. Why? All because he sought out to give himself away. Now, see, God does not allow us just to fulfill our own personal goals. I know some of you in here are very successful, and God's blessed you and given you creativity and ingenuity and entrepreneurial skills. Man, that's awesome. But can I tell you this? In the economy of God, God does not allow you to come to the end of your life and to simply allow you to live for yourself. God's given you gifts for others. God's given you abilities and talents. And see, the fact of the matter is, the way that you tap into, quote, living the blessed life is when you set out to be a blessing. Somebody came to me one time and said, Pastor, I'm just going to tell you right now, this church isn't friendly at all. I said, well, you know, man, I'm really sorry to hear that. And of course, I wanted to be sensitive to them. I wasn't trying to, you know, run them off. Or I just made, no, I just tell you, man, you know, y'all pride yourself as being a friendly church. And I just, you know, I've been here for 6 weeks. And I said, wait, time out. Hold on, time out. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard this principle in the Bible? And I just said, the Lord just whispered this scripture to you. It's so clear. The Bible says that he who wants friends, principle, boom, power socket, must first show himself, say it, friendly. See, if you say, where are my needs met? Man, that's your problem. You know, honey, I got needs. And you're going to stay with your needs. I mean, this isn't a love and marriage series, but I can go there real quick. Where are my friends? How come they don't look at me? Wait, hold on, time out. Take your eyes off yourself. Put them on God and others. And you know what? There's a power. You're tapping into something seemingly insignificant that you may have walked past for many years. Wow. I looked at him. He said, man, I got it. I got it, Pastor. Okay, I see it. I see it. I understand this. If I show myself friendly, well, the proverb says it this way. See, you got to see this. You want joy, got to give it away. You want friends, you got to give friendship away. You want resources, you got to give it away. Whatever it is that you want in the kingdom of God, you've got to give some of that away. You got to plant it. Proverbs 11:24 says it this way. I love this scripture. Here's what it says. This is so cool. Guys, you got to see this. You just got to get out of your mind. The world system, the scripture calls it cosmos, and it's the world governing structure. Everything in the world is antithetical to the kingdom of God. You know what that means? The world says, go for it. Hold on tight. Play your cards close. God says, man, you want to go for it? Go low, serve, be a blessing, give away. The world says, you know what? Claw your way. God says, give your way. The world says, step on people. God says, lift them up. Come on, do you see it? It's totally different. And as long as you're tapping into the world system, you'll get the world's results. And that's pain and sorrow and sighing. But boy, when you tap into God's system, there's joy, man, there's life, there's an adventure, there's passion, there's fire. It's totally different, guys. You got to see it this morning. Proverbs chapter 11, I love this scripture. Here's what it says. It says, there is one, here it is, kingdom scripture. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. That doesn't make sense. It's like a farmer. Guys, you know something? I could have a big harvest. I'm not going to invite all my friends over. Man, it'd be awesome. Make a big meal. Big man. Big harvest. And you know, we can eat that. But if I don't put some of that seed back in the ground, that's going to be my last meal. The Bible says there is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than it is right. Let me stop there and pause for a moment. I know what some of you think. Man, I tell you. I mean, so what are you saying, Pastor? I got to give all my time to God, all my time to church, all my time to relationship, all that. Wait, hold on. Sure, there's an appropriate amount of personal attention that needs to be. Certainly, there's an appropriate amount of developing savings accounts. Certainly, there's an appropriate amount of tending to your own proximity, the relationships in your home. But it says, watch this. If you withhold more than is right and appropriate. Does that make sense? Did you see it there? Did y'all catch that? Here's what happens. It leads to poverty. The generous soul, though, will be made enriched in all of life. Relationship with God, relationship in their vocation, the blessing of God in their family, the blessing of God, peace of God in their mind. And he who waters will himself be watered. Now, I'm going to read an interesting scripture, and then we're going to jump into a biblical character. Y'all learn anything this morning? All right, watch this. Isaiah chapter 32. Very interesting, kind of an obscure passage. I never preach this. I preach it one time in our church, this scripture. An interesting scripture, Isaiah chapter 32, verse 8, talking about the concept of generosity and giving, giving of yourself. And it inserts a little caveat, a little word here that jumped out one time when I read this. Here it is, Isaiah 32, verse 8. Because what I'm talking about, look up here, guys, I'm not talking about a reckless living where there's not a strategic mindset. See, you can be generous and strategic. Look what the Bible says. Isaiah 32, verse 8 says this. But a generous man, of course, gender inclusive, a generous person, man or woman, devises. Now, the word devises actually means strategically thinking about. So here it is. A generous man or woman strategically thinks about generous things. And by generosity, this person shall stand. In other words, Mother's Day is coming up next week. See, if you are walking out of the Mother's Day message and for the first time look at your wife or your mother or, you know, let's say you brought her to church and you say, oh, yeah, by the way, happy Mother's Day. You messed up bad. You got it? I mean, you just blew it real bad, real dumb. 2 years ago, I forgot about my wife's birthday and it's bad news. We're still in counseling today. But anyway, so I'm just joking. So here's what happens. Man, about halfway through the day, I'm like, Laura, my secretary, come here quick. Okay, we got to get flowers. We got to do stuff. We got to do. See, she let me walk out of the house. It's just like a lamb led to the slaughter. You know what I'm talking about? It just let me walk out of the house. Didn't say a word. And I got, and so halfway through the day, I'm like, okay, send this. I walked in. She goes, thank you for the stuff. Did you forget about my birthday? I went, boy, I tell you, Satan was lurching at my door. A big fat lie was just, no. Yes, I forgot. Yes. Forgive me, please. She goes, Steve, I just can't believe that you did. I'm sorry, honey. Wow. See, generosity, when you truly live this way, you are strategically designing your life with a quality control, a quality management control. I've got enough energy. I want to do this. I've got resources to help this. I'm going to develop this relay. I'm going to bless. I want to do this. Why? Because, listen, it's not just haphazardly waking up. Oh, man, I just want to be. No. There's strategy attached to it. It's a church that sees needs in the community and strategically thinks about if I have a mobile medical unit, a mobile dental unit, there's X amount of people without insurance. They're in the proximity of our congregation. Therefore, if we get this, strategically thinking through generosity is a lifestyle. Wow. There's a man in the Bible I was thinking about as I was preparing this message. And a guy that's kind of often obscure. I mean, he's mentioned. I'm sure you've heard him because you've got a great pastor preaches through the word. But yet, it's a person I want to highlight just for a moment before we close this morning. His name is Barnabas. I thought, Lord, what person in the scripture really knew what it meant to be a blessing? Who didn't seek to be blessed, but to be a blessing. See, guys, here's what I'm suggesting today. We have to have a paradigm change. We have to change our thought process. Here's a guy, Barnabas. Matter of fact, the infant church was happening. God was pouring out his spirit. Things were happening. I mean, God was moving in power. It was awesome. 3,000 are saved. 5,000 are saved. I mean, God was moving in power. You know what happens in a growth environment? Church like Church of the King, like Healing Place Church. I mean, it's never the heart motive of the leadership, but sometimes things just can get overlooked by the sheer, just the numerical power and explosion of things. Well, guess what? The infant Acts 2 church was no different. God's power is being poured out. People are being saved. But there were some poor members of the congregation that were being neglected. And the Holy Spirit spoke. Do you know I believe that God walks by us each day. And there's needs that he's trying to tap on our shoulder to meet. But oftentimes we don't hear. Oftentimes we're too busy. Here's what happened to Barnabas. Acts chapter 4. I want you guys to check this out. This is cool. Acts chapter 4 verse 34. There was a need. And God whispered to Barnabas' heart. Acts 4:34, the Bible says, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Oh man, that's incredible. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement. This guy's name was actually translated son of encouragement. Man, I've been called a lot of things growing up as a kid. Man, and son of encouragement was not one of them. A Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, watch this. He saw the need. Pastor, I see the need. I got it. I see it. Having land, sold it and laid it at the apostles' feet. See, he saw that there were some members in the church that were struggling financially. And he realized that he was blessed. Come on. He realized that he was blessed, not for himself. He realized that God gave him that beautiful home, not just for himself, but to open it up for a small group. He realized that God gave him the thing that he had in life so that in a strategic moment in God's time clock, he could be in a right moment and position to meet the need appropriately. Did you see it? He was a son of encouragement. I think probably the greatest thing about Barnabas, though, is when he vouched for the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul wasn't always the Apostle Paul. Don't you love those transformation testimonies in the scripture? Don't you love guys? Hey, does anybody in here love to hear about a radical transformation experience when you hear about somebody, a family? I just love it. Man, my heart gets fired up. Man, I get pumped when I hear something like that. But you know the greatest man in the New Testament wrote two-thirds of the New Testament? Two-thirds of the New Testament, his name is the Apostle Paul. It wasn't always the Apostle Paul. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 8, when the first Christian martyr, Stephen, was being killed, there was a young man, the Bible says, it was tucked in a little scripture. You can read it afterwards. Acts chapter 8. The Bible said that the magistrate, the one that was the overseer of that whole stoning of Stephen, there was a young man named Saul. Throw another stone. He's still moving. Hey, wait a minute. He's wiggling. Hey, throw another stone. Wow. Saul was the one overseeing that. Acts chapter 9, he's got letters in his hand, and he's going to Damascus. He's going to a place to throw some Christians in a prison to see them killed and tortured. And here it is, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of him. Boom, knocks him to the ground. Saul falls to the ground. His eyes are opened up, and the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, man, why are you persecuting me? I've got a call on your life. Man, I want to do something great in your life. You know, God always judges us based upon our potential and not our past. How many are glad with that? Whew. He says, I got a great destiny for your life, Paul. I want to do something great in your life. Here's what happens. He gets saved. You know what happens? Literally, within 3 days, the Holy Spirit fills his heart. He starts preaching the gospel. He starts knocking on doors. Like, I mean, it's all over. Listen, remember me? And they're like, boom, shut the door. Now, I know some of y'all think, and I tell you, those insensitive Christians, here it is, this man was touched by Jesus. They wouldn't even let him come speak at his Bible study for fear of who he was. You got to realize, this man was a murderer. I know some of us, you know, we judge people in the Bible, don't we? We judge people all the time. We judge them. Heard one person one time say, man, I tell you, that old Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. He just sunk. Boom. Where is his faith? I said, when's the last time you took 3 steps on Lake Pontchartrain? I mean, you got to realize the brother was a murderer, a killer. He knocks up on your small group door. I mean, it's like, excuse me, come back when we see fruits of repentance. God bless you. Door after door is being slammed. But yet the great Apostle Paul, the gift of God in his life. Watch this. He needed somebody that wasn't trying to be blessed, but learned how to be a blessing, to vouch for him. God whispered to Barnabas, Barnabas, I got an assignment for you. Can God whisper to your heart and you go do things that are out of your normal flow? God whispered to Barnabas, Barnabas, I want you to go take the hand of this man and I want you to bring him to Jerusalem because they don't believe that he's really been transformed. He was a murderer, but I've transformed him and I made him an apostle of righteousness. And he took him by the hand and Paul went, they don't believe me. I'm telling you, they don't believe me. Barnabas says, you don't worry about it. Hey, listen, we're not worried about your character integrity. Listen, I'm vouching for you based upon who I am, my character, my influence. See, I've learned a secret. It's not about me being blessed. Hey, Barnabas, are you crazy, man? You're the man. I mean, you could be the next apostle. No, 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 no. Listen, I've learned a secret in my life. It's not about me being blessed, but if I'll just focus on being a blessing and helping others get into their destiny and helping others achieve their potential. No, no. God says he'll take care of me if I'll just take care of enough other people. I'll get what I want in life if I just help enough other people get what they want in life. How many of y'all nervous I'm about to fall off of this thing? He gets up to the court. He gets up to the Jerusalem council. And he says, guys, he's for real. They say, we don't believe it. Do you trust me? We trust you, Barnabas. Then trust this man. Wow. And every time I come here, it's not like I invite Pastor Dino to my church. And he talks about my relation. Then he invites me here. Okay, no, he doesn't tell me that. But I cannot not talk about your pastor when I come here. He's been an encouragement to me. He's been like an older brother. Now, he doesn't like when I say it that way. We were in a meeting once. I said, man, it's like my older brother. I think he's close to 50. He said, no, don't say that. Don't say that, man. We're brothers, brother. You know what I'm saying? I'm 38, I think. How old is he? 49? Oh, 41. Sorry, 42. Don't tell him I said that. Erase the tape. I know he's 40. But he's been such an encouragement to me, guys. I wish you could see who your pastor was outside of these four walls, outside of Baton Rouge. He called me one day 7 years ago. Steve, I want you to meet a good friend of mine. Get on this plane. I said, Pastor Dean, I'm starting off the train. Get on the plane. We're going to John Maxwell's house. I went, John Maxwell? I mean, I've read his books. He goes, no, you're coming. I said, all right, I'm coming. Fly there. Go meet him. John, this is my good friend Steve. He's a young pastor. We're encouraging. I said, man, that's incredible. A couple summers ago, you're going to Hillsong. You're going to meet Brian Houston. I said, Hillsong? A couple, a year after that, I want you to meet Joyce Meyer. She brings him down. We're going to buy a building in New Orleans. We're going to bring Joyce Meyer down there. Dave Meyer said, why? Now when Pastor Dino calls, I said, where are we going? Because I realized something, Pastor Dino, it's not about him. But it's about helping others get into what God's called them to be. I know what some of y'all think. Oh, man, you don't understand something. I just don't have somebody that'll do that for me. I don't feel blessed. Now, before we close that, I'm going to give you three quick points. I got about 10 minutes. I'm going to give you three quick points. Nuggets. I'm a breadbasket guy. I've got to take home some things to chew on throughout the day. I'm going to give you three quick points of how you can learn to walk in God's blessing. And you can be a Barnabas. And you can be blessed. Watch this. Three ways. Y'all want to learn or you want me to end? All right. Here we go, man. Let me teach. Three ways to walk in God's blessing. All right. Follow along. Number one, if you're serious about this thing and you really want to learn to walk in the blessing of God, number one, you've got to have a new way of thinking. You got to have a new way of thinking. Write that down. In other words, and I wrote this, the way that you think, guys, determines the way that you live. People that think small. And I'm not talking about, okay, so I can't live in a 1,500 square foot house. I need to live in a 3,000. I'm not talking about the physical structure of your, I'm talking about the capacity of your heart, the capacity of your life. If you think small, you live small. People that think scarcity live stingy. People that think big live generously. Barnabas thought big. I wrote, in order for us to live in the blessing of God, we must think the way that God thinks. But guys, has it ever dawned on you why God, I mean, could have stopped making creation with, a million stars, but he made billions and billions? Has it ever dawned on you why, and by the way, they have people that tell you the population of the world's becoming overpopulated. That's not true. There's 6.2 billion people in the world, and all of us standing 1 foot apart could stand in the geographical area of Jacksonville, Florida. All of the world. There's more resources. There's more of abundance. Why? Because God's a generous God. God's a big God. God could have stopped with one mountain range, but he made another one. God could have stopped with a little bit of sand, but he made more and more and more and more. God could have stopped with one animal and then another animal. Why did he do all that? You know why I believe God did that? The psalmist said this in Psalms chapter. He says, when I look on the stars you made, when I look on your creation, when I look at the work of your hands, David said, God, when I see all that you've made, Lord, when I see the bigness of God. You ever been to Colorado and you look at those mountains, you think, gosh, this is so big. Why did God make such things big? Huge. And then it dawned on me. See, if you have a small God, he can solve small problems. But if you have a big God, he can solve big problems. Hey, I got good news for you. We serve a big God. And guess what? Guess what? See, if your God is small, if he's a small God, guess what? Then, and you think small, guess what? You'll treat people small. But if you think big, there's plenty enough. There's plenty enough business in Baton Rouge. There's plenty enough resources. There's plenty enough people to reach. There's plenty enough things. Why? Because God is big and God is, listen, I know what some of y'all think, Pastor, you understand something. You're not in business. Oh yeah, I am. But you think, oh, you know, no, listen, if God's your source, listen, it's unlimited. If God is your source of love, if God is your source of affection, if God is your source of joy, listen, it's unlimited. But the moment that you think, and God, can I say this? I'm from Louisiana. I can say this. I pastor in New Orleans, the North Shore region. Louisiana has been cursed with small thinking. Small-mindedness, narrow-mindedness. What did it for me, 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 me? Instead of saying us, you, we, those. And if you think that way, listen, you build business that way. You won't provide jobs for economy. There won't be a growth mindset. You will not tap into the biotic principles that govern the world. You've got to think big. You've got to think generous. You've got to think like God. I know I ruffle some feathers, but y'all don't have my email address, so it doesn't matter. All right, there we go. If you think small, you'll be insecure. You'll get jealous. You'll get jealous. Well, they have a nice house. I don't have one. Well, she got married. I don't have one. Well, they have kids. I didn't have kids. Look at this church. Wow, what about my church? Whoa. God thinks big. And when we think like God, we'll treat people like God. Hey, there's plenty for everybody. I want to help you. I want to help you in your destiny. I want to help you in your marriage. I want to bless you. I want to encourage you. Number one, you need a new way of thinking. Number two, you need a new way of seeing. See, if we approach life with a scarcity mentality, you know what? All we'll see is the needs rather than the opportunities. What we're really talking about is perspective. When we begin to live a generous life, your environment changes. Proverbs 22:9. He who has a generous, what? Say it. Eye. He who has a generous eye will be blessed. For he gives of his bread to the poor. What is a generous eye? A generous eye is an eye that looks for opportunity to be a blessing. A generous eye is always looking from a position of generosity. In other words, it finds needs and heals. It finds hurts and heals. It finds problems and solves. Do you know what spiritual maturity is? Spiritual maturity is the ability that you have to solve more problems than you create. Now, just think about it. Some of y'all are going to get that about 1 o'clock today. If you are solving more problems, do you know people pay people to solve problems? Do you understand that? Spiritually mature Christians are seeing opportunities. And see, a problem is not a problem. If you see from God's perspective, a problem is an opportunity to be solved to get glory to Jesus. But see, if you see everything through slanted small eyes and stingy, and there's only so much to go around, so much business, so much love, so much this, so much that. Oh, wait, so much time. I can't show up and cook for Christ because there's only so much time, and I can't do this, and I can't lead a small group because if I do that, I won't be able to love my wife. You know what I've found? Those that serve and give their time actually have the most. Do you know physically, watch this, there is a principle called entropy. When you use your muscles and push, guess what your muscles do? They do what? Grow. When you don't work out, your muscles actually shrink. It's a principle of reverse growth. It's called declension. When you push spiritually, you grow. When you push emotionally, you grow. When you push physically, you grow. If you protect, hold on, and are scarce, you actually shrink. Did you see it? Some of y'all are convinced. How many of y'all are convinced? You've got to see life from an attitude of, listen, an attitude of opportunity. We went down to New Orleans after the storm and bought a building. Down the natural, that's the stupidest thing in the world. I'm on the North Shore. We got tons of people in church. And, of course, we lost a bunch, moved away, but a bunch more came because people moved across the lake. And people think, man, that's awesome. I got Pastor Dino on. I said, Pastor, I'm telling you, we were doing relief all over the place. I said, man, I got to make a difference. I said, I think I got a building down in New Orleans. I want to start a big dream center. I said, Steve, come show me. We walk in and we see this building. He says, you got to get it. I said, how am I going to pay for it? Now, I know that some of y'all, you know, and I hesitate to use numbers, but for the sake of just to show you the gravity of the situation, it's a $10 million building project. We bought the largest building on St. Charles Avenue, the Jerusalem Temple. Those of you that grew up in New Orleans, 1,500-seat auditorium, huge. So my friends around the country said, Steve, you're crazy. What if another hurricane hits? My point is, what if one doesn't? What if nobody comes back? What if people do? Come on, how do you see life? What if I love my wife and she doesn't respond? What if she does? What if I start a small group and it fails? What if it doesn't? Come on, are y'all with me? What if I give to God and he doesn't bless? What if he does? But he will. You got to see this thing. You know, some people, they're just so negative minded and they're just, the end of the world. Doesn't the Bible say it's getting darker and darker and darker and darker and darker and darker and darker? Yeah, but it also says lighter and 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 lighter. You got to see it. You got to see it. Oh, brother, I read the book, but I read the other book. And Genesis 26:12, the horse will come in from the north and the whole world will be destroyed. And what if it's not? And God moves and Jesus pours out and harvest comes and the power of God. Are you there? Don't listen to small-minded, squirrely little puny people that want to hold you back from making a big impact for God. Big impact. Big impact. I'm leaving in an hour. God wants to do great things through your life. Jesus wants to touch the world. The Bible says in Matthew 13, the harvest is at the end of the age. This is our moment. This is our opportunity as a church to touch the planet for Christ. Don't you want to be part of that? Don't you guys? I don't want to miss out on that. I want to be like David, who served God in his generation. You got to think differently. You got to see differently. And ultimately, you got to live differently. You got to live differently. How do you live? How do you live? Is it a lifestyle? Have you learned how to give yourself away? I'll close with this point. It was interesting. I never shared this before last night. And I shared this as I was finishing the message. And it was just a thought. And I'll just see, here's the deal, guys. There's nobody in here that would come up and say, Pastor, I don't want to be blessed. Of course we all do. How do you get it? I was a freshman at Tulane University and a businessman came up to me and I'd gotten saved and my heart was touched by Jesus and I wanted to do big things for God. I wanted to preach in the inner cities and all over New Orleans and I had a dream to do that. And this man comes up to me and says, you know what, Steve, I want to hire you to work for me as a salesman for my company, but also during college, but also I'm going to give you an unlimited budget to be able to reach people for Jesus. He was a businessman that loved souls. And I thought, wait a minute, that's my vision. Then God said, serve his dream and watch what I'll do with yours. I began to serve his dream. We began to buy trucks. Before I knew anything about Bill Wilson, we'd buy trucks and reaching into the projects and the inner city kids. Jesus was moving God's power. I graduated from Tulane, went to Bible school, came back from Bible school and moved in with my associate pastor and his wife. And he came to me one day and said, Steve, God showed me in a vision that we can reach the high schools all throughout the greater New Orleans area. I said, wait a minute. My dream is to reach college kids for Jesus because I'm intellectual. Holy Spirit whispered and said, I don't care what you think about yourself. Serve his dream. Started serving his dream. We opened up one school, another school, another school. Matter of fact, Pastor Mike Heyman came down. Next generation exploded. There's 7 full-time people in New Orleans. We've reached thousands of kids with Bible clubs all over the Gulf Coast. Watch this. Watch this. Because I served another man's dream. 1999, I was preaching to kids. Matter of fact, my last youth crusade ever, youth camp, was at the ABC campground in 1999 in August. First week, it was Trinity Christian Church right here with Pastor Mike Heyman. And my pastor said, Steve, I want you, watch this. See, you got to get this today, guys. Please get this, and then I'll close. He said, Steve, I want you to go to the North Shore and start a church. God spoke to me. There's going to be a church over there. God's going to raise it up. I said, I want to go to Houston. Everything's big in Texas. I don't want to go there. God spoke to me and said, serve another man's dream. For the first year, I started Church of the King. I get up. I don't even want to be here. My wife like, you're discouraging the people. I said, it's true. And the story's still being written on Church of the King. Thousands of people. And I've learned a principle in my life. Whatever I want in life, if you'll just serve another person that has that or is doing that, I'm telling you, God will give you your own. You don't do it for that, but you cannot not. I know it's a double negative for all the English teachers. You cannot not be blessed when you seek to be a blessing. Come on, let's stand. Let's give Jesus a hand clap. Come on, let's honor him. Let me pray for it. Come on, just lift your hands to Jesus. Let me just pray. Father, what an awesome house. Oh, your presence is here, Jesus. Healing Place Church, literally thousands of people. I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl here. I pray the favor of God, the grace of God. Oh, God, we seek to be a blessing. Lord, may the presence of Jesus spill out of our hearts as we love, as we serve, as we give. And oh, God, I pray that yet, that truly your power would be released as we seek to be a blessing. God, you said you'll bless us. Bless your people now in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys.